We're good. We're hot right now. We're hot
the bunker. We're freaking super hot. We're coming.
Welcome back to News Rock, you guys. There could not be enough highlight reels in 1 week in any show that's ever existed. So we've given all this material to you guys that are out there. And I want to say thank you to everyone that's listening, everyone that stays tuned with us, and everyone's patient. News Rocky is obviously coming to you from the bunker, and we don't even have power down here. All the lights you see are being generated by little kids that are running around on treadmills upstairs, creating energy for us because we're into green energy here for the News Rocky show.
Listen, I just got an update on my phone.
Yeah.
It says Kevin Schoolcheck is live now.
Yep.
Titled, "This is it. This is the show."
This is it. This is the show.
I would sing for you, but I can't.
Hey, guys, this is News Rocky coming to you live again, talking to you with my boy Ray Bones here. We're trying to figure out all this tech-savvy stuff. There's plugs everywhere. There's wires everywhere. There's a lot of high-tech, but you deserve better. If you want to be with the News Rocky team, you deserve better. And you know what? I'm looking at you, and I'm telling you, I own it. It's my fault, and I'm going to make sure it's a better product going forward. When we get to the new studio, it's going to be amazing. You know, and I launched this stuff about a month ago, the News Rocky show. I had similar issues in other places we were. It's just learning. It's learning. And I know we're learning on your dime, and that's why we're not actually doing anything. If you notice, we have nobody doing any sponsors. Nobody marketing dollars aren't being spent yet. Because when we do deliver that, we're going to make sure we deliver the best service possible. News Rocky is a show that's taking on news, fake news, and the news of the day. We had some great opening, and I'm sorry that we weren't able to share it with you, or we had to break through it.
I think they did get it. If they were with us the first time, they got it all.
Well,
they got it all. We had a little bit of a confusion due to the original video we did, just kind of, you know, doing the hype video.
Hey, who's what's going on? We got a caller. Who's on the line?
Listen, this is the super smart, tech savvy half of Do Not Sports. I just want to let you know the sound issues have been worked out. You guys sound great.
Testing 1, 2. Testing.
I'm getting the thumbs up from the wife. You guys sound good.
Oh, very good. Well, thank God we have her and we have you, because I got to be honest with you, I don't know what I'm doing. Anyone that knows me, I don't even know how to turn my phone on or off. That's just a, you know, an issue I have. But we got Ray. He's doing pretty good, Chris.
Yeah, I'm trying to teach him a little bit. It is a learning experience, as everybody knows. On Do Not Sports, we've had a lot of these issues. This is what happens when you you work from the bunker. There's issues in the bunker sometimes, but the new studio coming, we're excited, and we can't wait to get in there.
That's well put, and I appreciate you saying that. Thank you, Chris, for giving us the update. Certainly, you can stay on the line. You got any predictions for this weekend you want to talk about, or anything on the show you want to talk about quick before you break away?
You know what? I got nothing for you guys. I want you guys to get back on track, have a good show. Everything sounds good. And don't forget to catch Do Not Sports Friday Night Bites tonight at 7 o'clock and the Sharp 5 at 6 o'clock on Facebook Live.
Very cool. All right. Well, thanks again, Chris. Thanks for tuning in and helping out. Thanks. So that was a call, Chris Knott from the Do Not Boys. He's obviously part of the Helms Media Group, and we appreciate him helping us out today. Guys, you're watching News Rocky here, streaming to you live on this platform and several others. Coming to you soon, we'll be releasing some new information on sites where you'll be able to find us, locations, radio stations, the whole nine. I know it sounds pretty ambitious when we can't even open a show up without having some technical difficulties, but you know what? This is how it all is. It's organic, it's real, and it's going to come to you each and every day, Monday through Friday, taking on news and the fake news of the day. And some of the best fake news of the day, the material that's being most talked about, is obviously it's an election, right? It's an election. Did you know that?
I heard about it.
Did you know that Donald Trump right now is losing in his fight to be reelected against Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? The Biden-Harris camp is up by several points. In fact, you know, we were checking the polls earlier this week, and some of the things that were indicating this is a landslide. It looks like Biden's going to win by a landslide.
Big landslide.
You think so?
I mean, yeah, I don't think it's going to be close.
You think so? Trump's done, right? Trump's going to go golfing.
I think it's time, man. I think it's time. Trump's going to probably, he's going to golf. He's going to, you know, go bankrupt and do a few other things.
Well, he's already been bankrupt. He has no money. He's broke, obviously. I think, but you know, that's the funny thing, right? I think when they were after the taxes with Donald Trump earlier on in the you know, I don't know if it was right after he was elected or during the campaign for his 2016 bid, everyone who was criticizing him said he was broke. He had no money. He didn't want to show his taxes. He had no money. I think one of the cutest lines of the entire debates that were played were when he said, "I don't even know you could do this for your taxes. I didn't know you could prepay taxes." It was, he's, you know, and it's kind of an indicator to me. This guy really is honest about what he says. I don't think he, you know, he doesn't purposely try to misguide information. I think he says it in a way. He's a slick dude. He's a heck of a businessman. And we're talking about Donald Trump. But again, Ray, I'm getting back to what we saw in 2016. The polls in 2016 had Hillary Clinton up by very similar numbers right now. And by the way, there's more people that have voted here before the November 3rd than it did last year at the same time. Obviously, these are some big indicators that the numbers are high. That could lean one way or the other. News Rocky's trying to talk to you right now about this upcoming November 3rd election. What's your thoughts on that, Ray? I mean, there's going to be something that's going to obviously could be a landslide. And I don't know if it's going to be Trump winning it huge or Joe Biden.
I mean, I think a lot of people are just waiting for to do the in-person voting, honestly.
You think people are just holding out on that?
I think that's where we're at. Yeah, I mean, people are going to go to the polls and they're going to take care of business and that's how it's going to go. I mean, I think that's a big reason why. And I think a lot of the people who are Trump supporters, matter of fact, are the ones that are going to go to the polls and that they're going to cast their ballot. I guess on November 3rd, we'll see a big, big swing in the, you know, percentages. I mean, there's some states that he's far behind, like seriously far behind that. He probably won't catch those states, but, you know, three, four points that one day could really, really make a big difference. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, so right now the polling numbers are coming in right now, and this is from the BBC. Of course, they're reporting about our news here in this country. We appreciate it. But the U.S. election 220 polls are showing a 51% to 43% going to Democratic candidate Joe Biden right now. So if the race ended today under these polling numbers, you know, I wonder about polling numbers. I always kind of get curious because there's a, you know, if we learned anything from the 2016 election, guys, that was actually such a great example of what? Fake news, because each and every one of the polling numbers came out with a little bit of, you know, numbers that were leaning towards obviously Hillary Clinton back then, kicking the living daylight out of Donald Trump. And what happened? What happened? Just so you know, Ray, we got a little bit of I know you're playing around there, but we got a little fuzzy screen on you, on me. I know it's not there on that one, but and I'm kind of fuzzy over there. It's kind of a unique look, but he looks good. Looks like you're actually in the Taliban and you're coming to me live from a cave somewhere.
Well, that's probably, I mean, you're more probably Taliban based than I am.
Why? Just because of my beard?
Because of your beard. Yeah, that's the only reason.
Guys, you think I look like I'm from the Taliban?
I mean,
kill
a little
some
bit.
Of them sons of bitches.
But how are you looking over there? Is that a little bit better? I'll be right back.
Where are you going to go? You going somewhere?
Yep.
All right, we're going to lose Ray Bones there for a minute. I think he's got to go comb his hair, brush his teeth, get ready. He was up late. We got to give him a break because he's got a new baby in his life, and I think the baby keeps him up all night. So we're just talking about polling numbers, guys. And with the polling numbers, we obviously see that the presidential debates that took place has probably pushed some people one way or the other. Some of the information that I think was really big and telling, and all the reports that are coming out of the last debate where that everyone was really more impressed with Donald Trump than they were with Joe Biden. This is even the critics that came out. Some of the traditional, I would say, corporate news even offered commentary that, you know, it was a good last debate for Donald Trump. And quite honestly, we gave a big shout out to the moderator. She did an amazing job on that debate as well. So listen, if you're thinking right now that next Tuesday, you don't have to vote, it's not really going to make a difference. You know, you got the you better realize that the vote that you think doesn't matter could be the exact vote that changes the day. Every vote counts. And by the way, guys, this is something that I have personal experience with, formerly as a first selectman, which is sort of like a mayor for those folks that are out there listening. It's a chief elected position in this small little town that I'm from, Griswold. We actually won by one vote in our first election during the re-canvass, and that's what it's actually titled, with all the lawyers and the smart people doing the research. They actually went up to two votes. And so I can tell you firsthand, every vote counts, and you can't complain if you don't vote. That's kind of how I look at it too. So I don't know what you guys' thoughts are on that, or we'd love to hear it from you. We are working on a couple call-ins. Looks like we're actually going to have a really big caller today, Ray. J.R. Romano is the chair presently of the Republican State Central here in Connecticut. And he'll be calling in at some point, hopefully to participate and kind of give us his perspective. And that's a big call. So the listeners out there, stay tuned when we get I see you're popping up some messages out there. Guys, get in here and message us on the board, too. If you're listening to us live on the stream, ask us a question, get involved, or call in. You can obviously right now, if you want to dial in, 860-884-5150. I'll put you right on the roadcast here, and Ray will tap you right in, and we'll get you on live, and we'll have a conversation with you about whatever you want to talk about. What's on your mind today, Ray? What's the biggest thing going on in your life right now? Right now.
Well, there's a few things. Depends, where you want to go with it.
You got a top list. Give me the top three.
I'm looking at a huge problem in my world right now. The Patriots absolutely stink. They're a dumpster fire. We need a new quarterback.
So you want to get rid of the Cam?
I think we need to give the young kid a chance. Instead mm-hmm. of give him a chance, throw him in there, mm-hmm. make something happen. It's been bad. I had a lot of faith in Cam. I don't have any faith in him anymore. I don't have mm-hmm. any faith in the Patriots defense, offense. They just are not very good. They proved that against Denver, and they proved it again against the 49ers. So that's one thing I'm wishing for. I'm a huge sports fanatic, as you know. Looking forward to the Masters coming up in a couple weeks. And we're going to have my buddy Jimmy Jones.
What's Masters? That's golf?
The Masters. It's the greatest.
Golf?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a place like no other.
I play golf once or twice a year, man.
I saw you. I've seen you play golf, Kevin.
I mean, I can chip a ball like there's nobody else.
You definitely are chipping a ball, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Probably better chance of chipping your teeth on the.
I chipped my teeth before trying to chip a ball. Actually, I don't know. I tried golf, man. Golf's one of those sports, guys. And the News Rocky shows kind of we'll talk about everything, but Ray's kind of getting into the sports. That's the lane he's in. We try to stay in the lane of sort of the commentary of news, the media, current events, things like that. The Helms Media Group's happy to bring News Rocky and all the other content to you. We talked earlier about the new location we're going to be going to. Now, I'm thinking, Ray, if we're really smart, we're going to send off a new negotiation to the Helms Media Group. We not only want that new studio, which we've secured, we have a restaurant downstairs, which we're going to have to entertain our new clients mm-hmm. And possibly even host some shows from. But I think the Norwich Golf Course, which is right in town, I'm going to challenge that I think is a corporate appropriate thing to do. I think the Helms Media Group should maybe get a membership there for us.
I would completely agree with that.
All right. So all hands raised.
Pushing hard for it. All right.
All
and
in
I'm
favor.
Sure Chris is going to say yes as well.
Chris is a yes.
Sorry,
so, Peter, it's 3-4 at this point. So just let us know when we can start golfing there in the spring.
The board has spoken.
That's right. All right. So. There's an election this coming third Tuesday, but this weekend is Halloween, guys. Is everyone ready for Halloween? And I got to tell you, we started off with our earliest part of the first show or the second show. I forget which one we ran today, but the first show was pretty cool. We had this whole thing about the creepy music in the background, and I was telling a story about a Biden win, and when you wake up and you realize actually Joe Biden's actually not the president, it's going to be Kamala Harris, and certainly her vice presidential pick is going to be very important. Guys, I'm not just joking around about this. There's no way that this president is able to, or this presidential candidate, if elected, is able to handle his clearly physical and mental health is challenged. And I don't know if you have any comments on that, Ray, but it's obvious.
Yeah, no comment.
What? you never not have a comment. So
I know.
You don't want to be in a politics. You just, yeah, because you just actually, I think what it just happened, guys, is Ray literally got a message from corporate saying you don't comment on politics because your show is more of a, you know, middle of the road. He's smirking at me right now. Is that true?
Middle of the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, that's exactly what's going on right now. I'm okay. Staying in my lane.
All right. Stay in your lane, buddy. Go kick your ball.
Creepy Joe.
Creepy Joe.
Sleepy Joe.
Creepy Joe. I mean, you know what? I think Creepy Joe, the one upside is if Creepy Joe could stay in office for 4 years, he would give us some really incredible material. I mean, you think about the stuff we got from Trump. Oh, you hear it, guys? Oh, they were going back there. All right. Ray's bringing me back. I'm going to get into my storytelling.
It was the night before Christmas.
It's the night before Christmas. No, it's the night before Halloween.
Yes, I know.
And all through the house, not a voter was stirring.
There was a sniff of the. There was a sniff of the shoulder.
And all of a sudden, on the chimney, we could hear Joe Biden was coming down to tug on my ear, whispering in my nose, blowing on my legs. Joe Biden said, "They're all hairy, and the kids rub them. It's really nice." Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, you're right up there with like Eminem. You're like the political.
I don't know how to rap. I don't know how to do that. All
you're
that
the
kind
political
of
version of Eminem.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, oh, if you wake up on November 4th and Joe Biden is announced as the president, I'll tell you right now, this country is going to be in a place that we probably never anticipated. We talked really seriously with Maria Knott of the Back to Blue this week. And, you know, the concern is really what's going on. Like, we're watching the news and we're watching what's going on down in Philadelphia and some of the civil unrest. And we're having some fun here on a really lighthearted Friday. And we should. We should be able to laugh it up and have some fun with this. Because if all you do is stay in the lane of craziness, you're just going to create craziness. So we're having some fun. But there's nothing joking about what's going on with regards to our police and our law enforcement. And, you know, if you know anything about this show 100% News Rocky backs law enforcement. And I think, Ray, you know, we have Chris Knott, who was just on with us. He's a law enforcement officer. You work in a correctional facility. I worked in a correctional facility, retired. Probably all of our friends are either associated with or in some way that the same lane. Even our friends who aren't in the industry are supporters of the industry. So big shout out to law enforcement right now. Keep your chins up. Understand one thing. No matter what happens in this election, the army of people who are out there to stand up for you, we're still there. We're ready to go. We will fight for you, and we will continue to make sure that you get the backing you need. Backing the blue is an important thing. And a big shout out to Back the Blue of Southeastern Connecticut. Maria Knott, reach out to her on Facebook or any other social media platform and see what you can do and support that great cause, helping out all the law enforcement folks in the Southeastern Connecticut area and beyond. So we have other issues going on, obviously, in this country. It's not just the election, but I think that's taken front seat here for most of us to talk about. But here in the state of Connecticut, we have a little something also going on. We have a lot of local races that are going on. And, you know, I've been sort of moderately, you know, to an extent, I've been involved with one or two of them. And one in particular is in the 139th seat. This is a individual, Kevin Ryan, who's been in office for 28 years. This is almost like, Ray, this is like the version of the presidency. Kevin Ryan's been serving the state of Connecticut, the state house, for 28 years. His opponent is 20 years old, Caleb Espinoza.
And, you know, I had a conversation with Caleb, very bright, young, inspiring mind. So
yeah,
big shout out to him to, you know, push forward and really, you know, trying to make a change and remove somebody who's been, you know, in politics for so long and is probably just reaping the benefits like, you know, Joe Biden has over the last 65 years.
Well, 65, 48.
Well, 100 million people died from the coronavirus. So
100 million people have died.
Yeah. According to Joe.
Joe Biden said 100 million. Hey, here's some great news, guys. This is not fake news. According to Joe Biden, your vice presidential possibility, 100 million people. And you know what? One person dying is not laughable, but this is the kind of example of what you get. And, you know, I'm going to tie it in. I just talked about Caleb Espinoza. I obviously served in the 45th House seat here. They covered actually where the bunker's located, where we all live at in this part of Connecticut. And those people are listening outside of Connecticut. We're in a area called Southeastern Connecticut, right by the two largest tribal casinos in the country, Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun. And we're happy to come to you live. But, you know, I served in the State House as well. And while I was serving, I actually took office for a guy named Paul Bricky, who served one term. He was also a first selectman like me before. But I also – we replaced somebody called Steve Micotel. And Steve Micotel was a great example of – I almost actually – you know, Ray, I was on my way over here today, and I thought about this. Steve Micotel, they called him the Maverick. He was the Maverick.
Oh yeah,
he was the rogue, he was the whip, and this is for the Democratic Party here in the State House in Connecticut, and he was also on a board of selectmen. Mm-hmm. He tried to stop everything I ever tried to do. He tried to stonewall me. Tried to put something in the middle of it. Tried to get me out of line. Didn't want me to have success. And I kind of remember, and it's unfortunate. He's a little older, gentleman. He reminds me just like Joe Biden. He used to say things, dude, straight up, just like Joe Biden. He would rattle things off. About hands were going, you know, the hand thing that politicians do when they talk and they start going like this. I'm going to protect you. Hands are good? Okay, good.
I thought that was an Italian thing. Is that an Italian thing?
I think Italians, think about it. If you think about Italians, I think Italians actually had a lot to do with structuring of our government at least, late 1800s into the 1900s.
It was implemented.
Yeah, they started saying if you're going to be a politician, the early politicians, our earliest members of our political parties when they were fighting and developing even the Constitution, they were more, this is how obviously if you folks are really constitutionalists, you know that our founding fathers, as we say, they really were workers. They worked with their hands. They were scholars. Let's face it. They were brilliant people, especially for that time. And their vision was amazing. But they were farmers. They were scholars. They were people that really wanted to go out and serve their country. And what's happened to politics is quite simply, it's become a business. Mm-hmm. And this is what I was getting to with the Kevin Ryan and the other thing with Steve Micotel and all these people. They get in there and they want to stay there in office forever. This is a problem, not just in local government, but in your country. And I'm trying to tie it into local government. It looks like we're probably going to get a caller coming in, Ray. So get ready by the phones. Probably get J.R. Romano on with us, who's hopefully going to call in, and we can talk a little bit about the state races. You know, I was paying attention to Brendan Saunders, who's running against this guy named Needleman. Needleman down there in the middle, I guess it's down in the Madison area. This guy Needleman is a multi-billionaire, and he basically paid for his position to make $28,000 a year. He wants to serve his state. And I think that's great, man. Give back. I mean, we criticize Trump for all these things, so I'm not criticizing the money side. What I'm saying to you is this guy Needleman just came out and started to attack personally on the religious beliefs of the candidate Brendan Saunders, who's really doing some amazing things. And when JR calls Romano from the State Central Party, he is currently the chair there. We got him on the line now coming in. So Ray, once you get him on, let me know. Certainly going to be talking with JR in a minute as soon as we can get him clued in here. Ray, let me know when you got him.
JR, you on the line?
Yeah. So we'll be working on that. But the Brendan Saunders issue down there, guys, if you're paying attention to News Rocky, pay attention down that way. If you can give some love and support to Mr. Saunders, who's really doing some amazing work down there as a first time run, give him some love. I think we got J.R. Romano of the State Central Chairman of Connecticut on the line. Ray, J.R., are you there?
Yeah, Kevin, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Can you turn him up just a little bit? I'm good, JR. Thanks for the technical. So we're actually this whole News Rocky thing, just to get you caught up, is a new concept. I signed up with a media group called Helms Media. We're launching this product and a couple others, and it's going to be Monday through Friday. We do we take on news and fake news of the day, and there's plenty of that out there for us. But first of all, as I introduced, the chairman is on the line. How are you doing, JR, during this really busy election cycle?
Good. It's been an odd year with COVID and trying to come up with clever and creative ways to raise money and help candidates interact with voters. As I'm retiring, this being my last term, certainly a great way to go out.
Yeah. And you speak to your retirement. And how many years have you been serving as the chairman here in Connecticut in the Republican Party?
So what most people don't know, the average length of chairman across the country is about 14 months. I'm going on 6 years.
You've been there 6 years, definitely. So yeah, that's definitely interesting. 6 years, yeah. And previously, I mean, I can think of all the different chairmen before you. Quite honestly, you've set the bar. I know you and I have had lots of conversation. You've been a great supporter. Sometimes sidebars, we might not agree on everything that I might be as a vision. But you know what? The one thing at the end of the day, I know we're all on the same team. And I want to say thank you for your service to the state of Connecticut, its citizens. More importantly, the Republican Party. You really you gave up a lot of your own personal life for this this job. And anything that stands out in that 6 year career that you're going to look back at and say, man, you know, I wish I did it different.
I mean, the only thing that I feel that I wish that I was able to convey to Republicans that we have to stop being lazy. You know, Kevin, and I'm sure there's plenty of people listening to this that love the idea of these rallies. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more infuriating to me than a group of people standing on a corner waving a sign. Mm-hmm. It doesn't actually help us win elections. What we need, and you were a state rep, you know this, we need people to go door to door. We need people to make phone calls. That's what the Democrats do.
Right.
And that is the one thing that I wish that I was able to convince local Republican town committees that if they want to win, it's up to them.
Right.
The state central committee and the chairman aren't going to run into your town and all of a sudden, you know, we're a secondary player. We're there. You know, I always use the line, we're there to get you from the 5 yard line into the end zone.
Right.
If a local town committee, if the local volunteers aren't willing to work, you're not going to win.
Right.
And that is the one thing that I wish more and more members understood as I'm leaving. But look, we were able to hit high water marks, 50 year high water marks in the General Assembly. Mm-hmm. I know this seems odd, but I think in the last 30 years, I might be the only chairman that has met every payroll.
That's a good point.
You know? Yeah. We've expanded the donor base to include more small dollar donors, where at one point in our history, we were a party that was only focused on the major donor, which meant we didn't really care about, you know, that activist, that person that's, you know, making phone calls. Yeah. So, I mean, I think when I took over, we had something like 1,200 donors. We're up to close to 3,000 now.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's all these small technical things that the average person would never know.
Right.
But yeah, I think obviously 18-18 in the Senate and then coming close to the majorities in the House, probably, I think there were 50 year high watermarks, in both chambers. And here's the thing too, Kevin, when no one understands, everyone's, oh, the blue wave 2018. In 2004 and in 2006, the General Assembly went to 42 members in the House and 38 members in the House. Mm-hmm. Those were waves. Mm-hmm. You know, we held our own, even though we were outspent by $30 million mm-hmm. in 2018. So, but yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see who's the next chairman.
Well, let's see who's the first who gets elected here in Connecticut. You've still got some time to serve until May. So, and I appreciate your perspective on the things that kind of you're outlining here. And I do understand them. I obviously was able to win in 2016. And I think we pulled 62 or 63% of the vote then. And it was a pretty high numbers actually for a position, as I outlined earlier in the show, was owned by the Democrats forever. So it's possible. It's doable. And it's time for us to actually stand up. You bring up a really great point, though. You know, rallies are great. And I got to say, they are exciting and it gets you wound up. We all get excited about it. But you're exactly right, because I'm out here with Caleb Espinosa on the campaign trail, and we get two or three of us out on a weekend. We're lucky. But we got a lot of people that give the moral support, but you need the physical labor out there knocking doors.
Right. So one of the things that always frustrates me, Kevin, is Republicans in general tend to romanticize about the founding of our nation and the sacrifices our forefathers made to carve this nation out of nothing and the beliefs. And we love the history and the Constitution. But when a politician today asks for a couple of dollars or some time to volunteer, we can't find people to make that sacrifice.
Right.
But we love talking about other people's sacrifices.
Right. Right.
So if you're involved in the Republican Party, your obligation is to give a little time or treasure. If you're unwilling to give that little sacrifice, you're actually not helping.
Right. Right. No, I get that very well. And I obviously, you know, it's one of the hardest things for a candidate to do is to sit there, you know, in your car the day you're going out to go campaign and you're all by yourself or you can't get the team together. And, you know, I want to tell you, I kind of understand this because I went up and spent a day with Jessica Alba. Running for Senate against Mae Flexer. And you know, I know Jessica came in at a very late in the game and wasn't able to qualify. But, you know, I went out and we knocked on some doors. We talked to people at the University of Connecticut. There's a great candidate. You know, if she's able to win this year, it'd be a miracle. We all know that. And she knows that as well because of the late start. But there's a lot of good people that want to get involved. But you bring up a really good point, JR. We got to get other people to get involved that want to support that team. We can't just want it and be the armchair quarterbacks. We got to actually get out there and get dirty with them.
Great. I mean, I can't tell you when, Kevin, you're going to laugh. I had going back a couple of years, we had a congressional candidate who was struggling to raise money. And I had someone come up to me and put his finger in my chest and says, "What are you doing for this candidate?" Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm from the Valley. I'm a pretty tough guy. I looked right him dead in the face. And I said, "What am I doing? What are you doing? Right. How much money have you given him?" And he looked like, what do you mean? What, you want me to go down to Greenwich to find a donor for $10,000 to give to this candidate, but you won't give him $100? Well, how about this? Well, how about you organize a fundraiser for him? Will you organize all of a sudden the guy started taking a step back. He's like, no, that's your job. Mm. So, and I said to him, so I get it. You're mad at me because I won't do more for this candidate, but you won't do anything.
Right.
This is the problem.
Right. No, I get it. And I agree. And, you know, I think we're all at times I'm guilty of it sometimes of just getting in the moment. You know, you get into that political moment and you get all wound up. But I do want to say, you know, JR, one thing I'll say about you, and please talk, you know, before I do ask you this question, you know, I want to say that you've always been a guy who answered the phone 6 years. You've always responded when you can. You always give the help you can. So there's no doubt that you loved your job and you loved helping this party grow. What got you, like, where did you said the Valley, I know where you're from, but let the listeners know you're from a part of Connecticut that's unique in a lot of ways, but you're also a unique story. You're a blue collar kid that grew up. You kind of, you know, you worked these multiple jobs. I know you put yourself through college and you got all these, you know, kind of upbringings that are the foundation, I think, for what America is supposed to be. How did you get into this aspect of the political scene here in Connecticut, the Republican Party?
So yeah, I was born and raised in Derby, Connecticut. For those that out in your neck of the woods, just kind of a smaller version of Norwich. And I went to Trinity College to play football. I don't think I would have gotten in otherwise. But my entire, starting at 13 years old, I always had a job. I had to help my mother put food on the table. My father was in and out of rehab. While I was in college, I got an opportunity to kind of intern at the state party because my father, when he finally came home, got a job working at a mail house. And of course, those in politics know mail was the bloodline in the, you know, 90s and 80s. And so I kind of got an internship and I loved it. And so I worked for four chairmen. I've been a part of the state defense organization on the inside for years. And so, when the opportunity came to run for chairman, I just had an inherent knowledge of the organization, the membership. And one of the things that I really wanted to try to do was inspire the local RTCs and the members to feel as though they're owners of the party. More often than not, somehow like the local RTCs or local Republicans think that there's a disconnect. We're all the same. We're all part of the same group. Which is why, to your point, Kevin, I go to as many events that I possibly could over the 6 years. I'd show up everywhere. I felt it was important that if you're going to give $25 to the state party so that we could do advertising for a candidate in another part of the state, the least I can do is show up at the Ledger's, you know, stakeout, you know, or, you know, whatever event. I think I was at an event for you at the golf course out there.
Yes,
so, you know, for me, what I truly believe is a strong Republican Party will make the state better. Mm-hmm. Because if we have more balance in Hartford, we'll get better results in terms of fiscal responsibilities, may even get a tax cut instead of tax increases, which will lead to a better economy. So a strong Republican Party could, in fact, change the state of Connecticut. And that's what I truly believe.
Do you see that? You know, I have an observation, and obviously, you know, I worked with Tim Herbst during his campaign to try to get the gubernatorial nod. And Tim's a great friend and someone I thought was an inspiring guy, you know, similar to your story. Not quite as blue collar as you. We'll give Timmy, you know, he's a football guy, but, you know, Tim's got that that grit that you have as well. But Bob Stefanowski, he's a guy right now. And, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but since we're talking the state of Connecticut and the Republican Party, I've gotten to know Bob and Amy. And, I really hope that Bob, and, you know, I saw him this week. He came out and, like you, he's out helping him and Amy, every candidate they can in Connecticut, doing the Masks for Heroes program they're doing. But I hope that Bob stays in. I hope Bob is our next candidate. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but, you know, to me, he's the guy that I think could actually bring this party together. And I'm going to give you an observation. I want to hear your response, though, GR. I think the two things that are missing in this party as far as the Republicans are, there's two, you know, based on numbers. You understand statistics. You understand the odds that are against the Republican Party. You know, I think you got to take it from this perspective. We can win if we connect with two groups of people in Connecticut. The first group of people, I think, are the people that are living in inner cities who have been lied to, have been, you know, the promises given to them have not came to fruition year after year. They see the same issues going on and crime and all that. And you have to connect with those people. And the other part of that is connecting with unions. You know, we're all too often as union members, as a former union member, we hear politicians on one side blaming the membership for these deals that were done by governors and legislature in the past. I think it's time for us to realize most of that group in the Republican Party, or excuse me, in that union party issue, they're supporting the Republican concept. They just, you know, they're going to vote with their pocketbook. So we have to figure a way out how to do that. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, there's two things. One is what frustrates me. Well, there's three things that I think are problematic within the party in regards to that particular issue. And they're all centered around messaging. But first and foremost, there's a lot of Republicans that believe it's our responsibility to educate people about, say, the economy or whatever it is, the Constitution. You always hear this a lot from you know, local candidates. And the truth of the matter is that what we have to do, and I'm going to take Bob as an example. I begged his advisors to change the way they were messaging eliminating the income tax. And what I said to them was to have Bob stand up and say, listen, the media and the Democrats can criticize me all they want for wanting to eliminate the income tax. But here's the reality. It is our obligation as elected officials to make that single mom in Norwich, Connecticut, better. Put her in a better position to succeed in life. And if that means that we have to work our tail off to make sure she has $200 more a week in her pocket, that's what we should be focused on. Mm-hmm. We'll make it work because we owe it to her. Mm-hmm. But what Bob kept saying was, it's the economy. We'll create jobs. And that, as much as I love Bob coming out of the private sector and this being his first run, I think he's learned a lot from that experience, but we have to talk about how our issues make people's lives better.
Right.
Not about these grandiose, it's the economy or public safety, you know, tell stories like the police accountability, tell a story about Heather Messenger, mm-hmm. where it was an incident out in Eastern Connecticut where we didn't have enough state troopers on duty. And because of that, mm-hmm. she waited 20 minutes for the police to show up while she was bludgeoned to death by her husband.
Right. Right.
And that's happening with this police accountability. If we have less officers, our response times are going to go up. And what will happen? It'll take longer for an officer to get to a domestic violence situation, which could mean serious, serious consequences.
No, I
agree. We have to do a better job talking about issues from a human standpoint. And as far as the unions go, we shouldn't be going after the union member. Most union members are doing things that they love. They got into this profession, whatever profession is, whether it's corrections or, you know, whatever it is, because this is what they wanted to do with their lives. There's nothing wrong with that. What we should be going after is, and this is what I honestly believe, I think we should help educate, I shouldn't say educate because that sounds condescending, but I think we should help membership push their leadership to offer better alternatives. Because the reality is what your leadership, what union leadership does is they lie to the members because they're in cahoots with the Democratic Party for power purposes. Why is it that union, we have all these modern ability for technology. Why is it that unions still demand to have a basic, you know, survey? Well, you know what? You have the capability of having a Zoom call where you can have union members asking candidates directly questions that impact their family, their careers, whatever it may be. And then why not have the union members vote mm-hmm. on who to endorse?
Right.
Instead of the leadership telling you right. who to support. Well, and then based on that,
it comes down to controlling the narrative, right? I mean, that's the obvious, right?
And until this is the problem, Kevin, until the union membership forces leadership to holding them accountable, Republicans don't trust their leaders.
Right.
We know that we never get a fair shake from them.
Right.
It's not the membership that's the problem. It's your leadership. So I've consistently said, whether it's the teachers union, whether it's the corrections union, you guys should be vote. And if say, for example, Steve Ware, if 50% of your union members that live in the 19th senatorial district vote to endorse Steve Ware, that's where the union money should go. Right. It shouldn't be determined by your leadership. They work for you.
Right.
So I think members need to really push. Yeah, after all, you pay them.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that's what needs to change in order to kind of change that conversation.
I appreciate that. And it's a good point. And I agree with you totally on that. Definitely think that we have an opportunity in Connecticut to actually win some seats here this race, this go around. So let's get your comments. You know, the hotbed, you know, sort of debates.
Watch it, Kevin. There's just one more thing on the union thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Because you were a union member, and think about how much more powerful you get, you become, if Republicans recognize that your votes are up for grabs.
Yeah.
So you have a debate where after the debate, you guys vote on who to give money to, or who to lend volunteers to.
Right.
You would see so much more engagement from people on the other side of the aisle. But we know we're locked out by your leadership.
100% agreed. And, you know, I just on that, before I get to my next question, you know, obviously I stood up in the state house and we were at the point voting on the extension under Malloy of the basically refinancing the current pension system. And I stood up and said, this is kicking the can, and this is really jeopardizing what was promised to me as a union member, as well as a retired correction officer. And the challenge here is, I think the next system, which you actually, is kind of funny. I met with Kevin Limbo and I had a proposal, and we were working with some of the other, you know, groups out there and trying to get some fiscal responsibility with regards to the union contracts in the future. The hybrid system of future contracts is there's no way you get around it. So I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans, they can't keep paying these bills and promising false, you know, sort of hope to this future employee. They got to change it now. But to that great point, I just want to kind of focus and get it back onto the election this year, being respectful of your time, JR. You got a lot of great races this year. Do you see any, I mean, I don't want you to get into the weeds, but any big upsets right off the bat that you think are really, really looking positive for the Republicans in Connecticut?
Well, I think we have a real opportunity with Kathy Austin. You know, we're investing heavily in that race, as well as the race down in Greenwich, to try to bring that back into our column. The only issue is that COVID has kind of given a little bit of protection to incumbents because you can't get out there as much. Mm-hmm. Right. But I think Kathy has a long history of being, she misrepresents facts. You know, she's certainly voted against the district on a number of, you know, whether it's voting for taxes constantly, the police, you know, I call it the anti-police bill she voted for. And the tragedy of that was Kathy, as a corrections officer, voted against police officers. And what I couldn't wrap my head around was that the Senate had enough votes. She did it anyway. Mm-hmm. Just turned her back on people that wear the uniform. Mm-hmm. And I think that I think we have a real opportunity. And anyone that's out in her district in the 19th, Norwich in particular, which is a community like Derby, we're struggling to put food on the table. Mm-hmm. And all Kathy's doing is putting her hand out saying, you know what, I need a little bit more from you. I need tolling money. You know, we diverted money from the Special Transportation Fund, which was to help fix the bridge. But you know what? We spent it on operating costs because we had to pay, whether it's a pension, we had to pay, you know, whatever goody for special interest. So now we're going to put up tolling. Which will cause, I mean, it's insane. It's insane. And Kathy's a powerful Democrat. Yeah, that's what everyone needs to understand in that district. She sits, she's the chairman of that Appropriations Committee. She's in the negotiations when they're talking about tax increases.
Right.
She doesn't care.
Right. I mean, Kathy's been there, you know, and I worked with her in corrections. And let's face it, it's obviously the Kathy Austin has been a powerhouse in this legislature. But I do agree with you. I think Steve Ware has a really heck of a shot of winning this year, because I think he actually has outperformed her on the ground pounding. What do you think about the state senate or state representative seats? Anybody out there that stands out?
The only, well, the, I mean, there's so, there, obviously there's so many, Kevin. We have a couple open seats that we have to maintain and hold. We have a couple rematches out that way. Hoping Bob Segrest, who's closer to the center of the state, but it's still in the second congressional district. Obviously, you know, I think those Norwich races are in play. Yeah. Just because, you know, we're seeing blue collar communities like Norwich recognize that Democrats have turned their back on them. Democrats are having more success in wealthier communities. People, the line that I always use is people that can afford to be offended by Trump. So we'll see what happens. But I'll tell you, Kevin, these races are going to be decided by 1%, 50 votes, 100 votes, 10 votes. Mm-hmm. And with the mail-in balloting, I don't know what's going to happen. So take, for example, Norwich, right, which is the – in Kathy Austin's district is the most Democrat town. Democrats tend to vote by mail. Mm-hmm. More things can go wrong in the mail. Mm-hmm. So we had an issue in Enfield, Connecticut, where 300 ballots were delivered after the election. But they were mailed on time, but they didn't get to town hall. 300 votes could mean the difference for multiple races.
Right, right.
It's so be, yeah, you know, I just definitely a good point. I don't know. That's I just don't know point. What's going to. I mean that's what we cannot account for.
Mm-hmm. How are you feeling? Like you got a really good, and I'm sure you've had some opportunity to speak to most of them. You got a good pool of brand new candidates this year, people that are stepping up, you know, getting off the bench and getting involved. How are you feeling about some of those new candidates? Do you think they're coming into the races eyes wide open, or are you hearing a lot of calls from these folks saying, "Man, I never thought it was going to be like this."
No, I think people are hungry to save the state. You know, I think of like Brandon Saunders or Steve Ware, right? These are guys that kind of stepped up. And what was funny was I had a conversation with a reporter who said, you know, why is it that Republicans couldn't get elected officials to step up to run? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. He's like, well, you know, and he starts with like Brandon Saunders didn't hold a position in the town, or Steve Ware wasn't on the board of education, whatever it is. And I literally challenged them and I said, and I started rattling off Democrats from 2018 that were in the same situation. Mm-hmm. I go, you know, Alex Katzer, who's in Greenwich, or Cohen in Brantford. They didn't, like, I was like, this is, and they were trying to write as though real Republicans didn't want to run because of Donald Trump. Yeah. And that is what I deal with on a regular basis. And the right. quality, and it's dismissive of the quality of candidates that we currently have, as though somehow Brandon Saunders or Steve Ware aren't qualified to do this.
Right.
And that is what is the most frustrating part about it being the party chairman. When I get questions like that, that the media is trying to paint a narrative that somehow these candidates are less than simply because, you know, spin it into the whole Trump thing. Right. It's sad.
It is sad. And, you know, the News Rocky Show coming to you live here. We got Jared Romano, the state chairman, finishing up his sixth year in office, sharing some insider sort of baseball with us. And as you see, if you're watching us online, I don't know if you are, Jared, but we have with us is Ray Bones, my good friend, also a correction officer in the union. So you heard some of that talk there, Ray. Anything you want to chime in on? Or Jared's an open dude, man. So. Any points?
No, I just enjoy listening into his expertise and, you know, recommendations, suggestions.
JR, Ray does a show called Do Not Sports with his partner, Chris Knott, who's a Norwich police officer. It's a really grassroots sort of beginning. They're a part of our new network, our new Helms Media Group. And he stays in his lane. He stays out of politics. So he'll chime in if you start talking sports, but I think he's going to stay out of the politics. Hey, JR, quick question to you. Where's the party going to be in a year after you're done?
I don't know. I think the party's got we're going to obviously have another gubernatorial year in 2 years. So I think we're going to ramp up to that. I think we're going to build upon what we've laid a really good foundation. I think it's time for someone to come in to build on what we've created. Here's the thing that's amazing to me. When you look at voter registration, our population has shrunk, but Republicans have kind of held around 400,000 registration, which means from a percentage standpoint, our numbers are increasing. And where they're increasing are blue-collar communities. Mm-hmm. You know, Democrats gained votes in Madison. Republicans gained votes in New London, in Bridgeport, Norwich. So, you know, this is going to be an interesting few years, because I think the party is changing from the country club Republican to guys like us.
Yeah, right.
Union members who are tired of paying too much electricity, for gas, for property taxes. You know, we're paying some of the highest taxes in the country, and we have some of the worst services. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the Department of Labor. They can't even get out checks for people who need them.
Right.
You know, the look at the Secretary of State's office. This whole mail-in balloting thing is so unorganized that they don't have the infrastructure from an electronic standpoint when systems are out there that they can invest in. Mm-hmm. And they don't, you know, that none of that's happening. Right. So it's not as though we're paying more in getting increases in quality of service. The service quality is going down.
Right. Well, do you, so the question was, and you kind of outlined it there, where do you think Republicans in the 2022 upcoming gubernatorial election, and you know, we talk about, we have one right now, but in 2020, but you know, it's going to be here before you know it. How do they get ready to win a gubernatorial seat here in Canada?
They have to work. Kevin, I've said, I'm going to say this consistently, and I'm tired of listening to these armchair quarterbacks when I call out local Republicans that don't work hard enough. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll never forget, I got blamed for Bob Stefanowski losing an Eastern Connecticut town by the first selectman of that town.
Really?
How is it that I can make sure that who do you think has more influence in that town, me or the first selectman?
Clearly.
Right. But what happens is, and this is the, and I'll never forget this joke. Someone said, do you know why the State Central Committee, the Connecticut Republican Party exists? It's so that candidates have someone to blame when they lose. Mm-hmm. And as long as we have that mentality, in all honesty, for these people that are complaining about what happened in 2018, mm-hmm. how many hours did they put in knocking doors for Bob Stefanowski? How many hours did they put in making phone calls? Because you know what? I know those numbers. It wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. We lost by 40,000 votes. That's not money. That's manpower. Mm-hmm.
No,
that's manpower.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it is time, if we want to put our, you know, in a sense, put our money where our mouth is, or our mouth where our money is, and step up as a party. You know, I've been a Republican since 18. I'll be honest with you. You know, I kind of, when I left politics, I kind of went underground for a little bit and went dormant. And now I'm getting all kind of juiced up again here and excited. But I will say that it's disheartening, because I don't see, you know, the people that are really have an opinion don't have the energy to back up the opinion. And I agree with you. It's not trying to slap people down, JR. Like, you know, I think it's just, hey, we got to talk about it if we're going to solve the problem. So let's skip to the next question, which is the obvious. It's a big year for the presidential election. I know you have an opinion of Connecticut and the nation and what you think will be the outcome. So we'd love to hear you here on News Rocky. What do you think is going to happen with the presidential election this year?
I think the president is coming on at the right time. My only concern is the fact that this is the pandemic and the mail-in balloting. And what most people don't understand, and I even actually explained this to the Connecticut Press Corps, when the president is talking about a rigged election or what could go wrong, there are several states that are in Connecticut. For those listening, we have a two-tier system when you're getting a ballot. You send in an application and the state sends you a ballot. And even then, they screw it up sometimes, right?
Right.
Well, in other states, they were just sending ballots. So imagine in Connecticut, for example, what we know, 100,000 absentee ballot applications in Connecticut were sent back to the Secretary of State as undeliverable.
Okay.
Well, we've gotten phone calls from hundreds of people. It's like, hey, my the guy that I bought the house from 22 years ago, I got his application. How is he an active voter? He lives in Colorado. Imagine if that guy got a ballot instead of an application.
Right.
And someone said to me, who would commit voter fraud? And I made a joke. The same guy that will jump on a Columbus statue and saw off his head. Obviously, they don't care about breaking the law.
It's true. It's not a joke. That's true. 100%.
There are people who are willing to violate the law because they are so emotionally driven, basically because of the way the Democrats' rhetoric and the way the media portrays this president. But they don't care about violating the law. So you can't sit here and argue with me that, oh, it only happened a little bit. Right, but in Connecticut, Norm Needleman only won by 80 votes. Mm-hmm. And we had, in the General Assembly, we had, I think it was 15 races that were decided by, literally, if you added up all the votes of all 15 races, it was 100 votes in total.
Wow.
So if you have five or six people that are doing that, mm-hmm. it could literally mean the difference in the General Assembly.
Interesting.
You know, we're not as blue as people think.
No, as well as, I mean, what is it? Connecticut's 3.5 million people. Thereabouts mm-hmm. in census. Yeah. And, you know, I always kind of do these numbers, and I don't want to go back to the part of the conversation with the unions. Listen, I want to be heard really loud and clear. I support union workers. I support the concept of union workers. There are certainly unions have a place in the world today, not probably like they did, you know, back when, you know, jobs had many, many issues, but they do. And I think law enforcement is one of those examples in some of the medical. You're not going to get rid of teachers unions. But the bottom line is in a 3.5 million state of Connecticut residents, or at least that appearing there, you got about 250,000, JR. These are union workers, 200 plus thousand union workers. I'm not talking state only, but that's a big chunk of the population that you have to get out there and engage with. And you went into your thoughts on that earlier. Appreciate it. Listen, I think the presidential campaign here in this country is interesting. I don't know if this has ever been anything you've seen before in your time serving. It's unique. The way this campaign, and probably because of COVID, has played out, what is your opinion of how much the media, who has been driving one narrative versus the other, going to play in the end of the day with this entire presidential election?
Well, it's massive. And I try to explain this to people that the way the media will craft in a story, and how they insert their implicit bias. Like when you ask them, they don't think they're being biased, mm-hmm. but they're biased in the stories they choose to cover. And I'm going to give you a prime example. 7 Sundays leading up to the general election this year, 2020, the Hartford Courant, which is probably the biggest newspaper in the state of Connecticut, right, in terms of the name, 2 of those Sundays decided to write stories in their massive editorial section mm-hmm. about me, mm-hmm. the minority party chairman, mm-hmm. the party that's out of power. 2 Sundays out of 7 leading up to the 2020 presidential campaign, mm-hmm. in the middle of a pandemic, is about me. Why? Why aren't local reporters like in the London Day is pathetic with this.
Get me going on that one, man.
No, they're pathetic. And they don't even understand they are killing their own business because they refuse to accept their failures. Why is it that they will go around and ask every Republican about Donald Trump, but they won't ask every Democrat? Like, and I'm not even asking the comment.
There. You're talking about Bob Collins?
Well, all of them. It's also their beat reporter.
Listen, JR, you're speaking my tone right now. And, you know, you just made a mention about asking you questions about this issue. I was equally as offended when the Hartford Courant came out and said, if you're voting for Donald Trump, this is why you're a racist. And this is what we're getting, not just in Connecticut, across the country.
Well, what amazes me, Kevin, is like, I'm not even, here's the irony. I'm not even, as much as I complain about them not covering things like "you ain't black" that Joe Biden said, or the Hunter Biden things, you know, they're not going to cover that. No. But how about going to Kathy Austin and saying, hey, Kathy, look, we're looking at massive deficits because mm-hmm. of the coronavirus in our revenues for the state, because obviously we've been shut down. Mm-hmm. What do you think the solution is? If you go back to the General Assembly, are you going to push for tax increases? How about asking that question? Don't you think the electorate should want to know that?
I agree.
They don't ask those questions. Yeah. They have completely failed the people. Yeah. That's why they don't have subscribers. And what's tragic is what they're doing is it's a classic example of not seeing this forest past the trees. Mm-hmm. People who are hyper-political tend to read the news a little bit more.
Right.
And because they're chasing clicks, their stories are getting hyper-political, because what they're watching is they're watching the trend lines. And they see a story about J.R. Romano or a story about Trump is getting lots of conversations and lots of clicks. Mm-hmm. And so they're continuing to drive these controversial stories versus actually reporting things that would matter to average people. Why is it? And this is the truth, Kevin. Me retiring is not a big deal.
Right.
It's really not. I don't think I'm that important. I'm not an elected official. I'm a party head. Who cares? Mm-hmm. You would have thought like I was the governor announcing that I wasn't seeking. I mean, I couldn't believe the response. And then I realized it's because people click.
Right.
They, you know, they're writing a story about me. I am someone the Democrats absolutely hate. I get called a racist, a big every day. Mm-hmm. because I'm effective at talking about the issues that are impacting average families, and they hate that because I'm putting their failures on blast. And so say I'm a horrible person, I'm this, I'm that.
Right.
And so they're missing the point. And what's happening is their audience is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking because the quality of product that they're putting out sucks.
Right.
Dave Collins shouldn't have a job.
Right.
He shouldn't. When the double standard that the New London Day allows for, you want to say Trump's a racist. All right. Why aren't you writing a story about a comment like "you ain't black"?
Right.
How about writing a story about Joe Biden's history with segregationists?
Right.
How about writing a story about the fact that that Washington, D.C. senators and congressmen are protected by a secret slush fund? Mm-hmm. That if someone accuses them of sexual assault or sexual harassment, they get paid off by taxpayers and you don't know about it.
Yeah.
How about doing that story? Like, where did that story go?
Right.
Why aren't you asking Joe Courtney where it's here? Why aren't we introducing legislation?
Do you think legislation? Chris Murphy would look into that story?
What? Me personally? I think Joe Biden. There's videos upon videos of him, like, these awkward exchanges with women where he's massaging. Right. There was a story in Harper Current where Joe had Biden had a fundraiser in Greenwich, and a woman, literally the story, you can Google it, was about how uncomfortable he made her because he was rubbing, she was massaging her.
Creepy.
I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, he's a creepy dude. But, you know, you bring up, and, you know, you brought up the Hartford Current, the New London Day, and I did call him Bob Collins. It's Dave Collins, and he is so infatuated with Heather Summers, Senator Summers, and this sexist sort of way that he handles his opinions of her kind of ties right over to Bob Stachin. And I don't want to really give Bob, I call him little Bobby Stachin because he's just a little man who is trying to attack Heather Summers, who I think has the most bipartisan voting record in any of the folks serving in the Republican Party.
I got one better for you, Kevin.
Yeah.
With the New London. What's amazing to me is that, so Heather Summers filed a campaign. I don't know if it was her, but there was a complaint filed against Bob Stachin because he's misusing election funds.
And he's violating the Hatch Act too with his uniform. But that, yeah, further.
Well, yeah, but what amazes me and what the New London Day did in covering that story that how he's violating election law is they put it back on Heather, basically not caring that Stachin is violating laws. On, you know, the CEP is violating CEP rules and guidelines. And they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's pathetic about the organization. That's what's pathetic about media today.
Right.
Because they have this double standard. I mean, the press secretary for Jim Himes, a congressman, constantly puts out lies. We put out a tweet that said something like, Connecticut Democrats have raised taxes this year. She tweeted at us, "You're lying." So I'm like, what are we lying about? And I'm trying to get the media to cover the fact that this is someone who's influential. Call them out, but like corner them, because I know that if I tweeted out something like that, they'd certainly write a story about it. So, but Stachin, to your point, if he is violating the Hatch Act, he is violating election law.
But he gets a pass. He gets a pass by the media. He gets a pass because it's their part of their narrative. The corporate media, including, and you made a really good point, they're going out of business. The corporate media is going out of business. You know, on the national level, they can kind of get away with it. With some of their ad revenues and the way they share the conversation. But I think local newspapers like the Hartford Current, the day after that they announced that they were going to be this whole thing, you're a racist if you're voting for Trump, they laid off 151 people. It was in the paper. It can't be true, right? It was in the paper.
Well, yeah, it is 100% true. And the tragedy is that what's fascinating is you're seeing local news sites that are generally online thriving because they're covering the local board of education. They're covering things that people actually want to talk about. And they're, you know, it's, you've absolutely had, like the Connecticut Mirror, didn't cover. And I really appreciate, I've always had a good relationship with Mark Paz. There are people that think that the CT Mirror is this liberal paper, but truthfully, Mark has always been, you know, the stories that he chooses to cover, he's been, you know, he doesn't do the sensationalism. He doesn't, they cover the numbers, they'll do the story. But if, you know, they're an online, they're thriving and they're online.
Right.
Because they're doing stories about the budget. They're doing stories about where money's going. That's what people want to see.
Where do you get your news from, JR? If you really want to get reliable news, something that's trustworthy and not leaning one side or the other, where are you going to get your news? JR Romano is
what I basically do. If there's a news interest in the story, you know, of course, I think all of us use social media. Someone will share a story, you read it. And then if it's something you disagree with, you start digging a little deeper to find the statistics or the facts behind it or whatever it may be. It's hard because there's no pure news organization anymore. And I think in going back to London Day, it'd be one thing if they had someone that was combating Dave Collins,
right?
But they don't. It's right. Just in London Day was literally trying to write a story about how the Republican Party was going to intimidate voters because we were looking for volunteers to be unofficial checkers. And a reporter called me and is really pushing this narrative. And I'm like, so have you called the Democrats to see if they're having unofficial checkers?
Right.
And she was like,
of course not.
Which they will. Unofficial checkers have been a part of Connecticut electoral process forever. I ran in 2004. I had unofficial checkers.
Right. You know, I just, as we wrap up, I want to be respectful of your time. Hopefully you'll come back and talk to us. We're actually moving to a new studio right across from City Hall in the downtown area of Norwich. So we'll have a beautiful.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So maybe you'll come down and hopefully, you know, visit us in studio. I think we got a question or at least a comment from my partner, Ray.
Yeah, real quick, JR, where do you think the pension system is going to go over the next 10 years? Do you think
he couldn't let it go. I knew he wanted to know your opinion.
No. So listen, and this will probably surprise you because most union members don't actually have an opportunity to kind of like have an engaging conversation, which really frustrates me. Most Republicans feel that we have to honor the obligations that we've promised, but we need to move into a system of whether it's a hybrid system, whether it's more of a 401k model, because we cannot continue the way that we're going. And unfortunately, what agitates me is you take like a correction officer or a police officer, you know, I don't mind someone that put, you know, when we're talking about taking care of people, it just frustrates me when you see pension plans for like the deputy commissioner who's getting $250,000 a year in pension, but someone who, you know, was getting spit at or assaulted on their job is getting like $80,000. I mean, that to me, that is the most frustrating thing in the world. Mm-hmm. But I think most Republicans would agree with me that we have to kind of migrate into a hybrid system or a 401k model, but we must honor the obligations to the union members that we promised. It's just the right thing to do.
Right.
That's a good point.
That's a great answer.
Any other questions?
No, that's good. I was
thinking about that. How old are you?
I'm going to be 42.
How old are you?
I'm 39.
Yes, you guys are on the same age. I figured that as much. You both got nice hair, both athletes, you know. Not like me, old guy, bald with a beard, you know, kind of in a, you know, rough neck age.
A farmer.
Never owned a farm. Well, I had a hemp farm. That's about it. So, JR, thank you for taking time today, brother. I appreciate you. I appreciate your service. I've been often, I've said things to you directly, but I will say this. I always appreciate that you don't have a problem, and you made it very clear day one when I met you. You are a blue collar guy, and you're gonna give a response and an answer. And typically, you know, you don't back down from anything. I appreciated that about you, and thank you for your service to the state of Connecticut, the Republicans in the state of Connecticut. But a lot of people don't realize you didn't just serve Republicans; you served the entire state. So I want to say thank you to your public.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it. Yeah. Appreciate the time.
No, thank you very much, brother. I'll talk to you soon. And I know you're going to be busy, but I'm sure we'll probably bump in past the next 4 days. Take care, brother. So that was JR Romano, man. What a big call on a day, a Friday, the eve before Halloween. We got a great call from Insider's View. The chairman of the Republican State Central Party here in Connecticut did 6 years in that position, right? And it's going on to, you know, we really didn't get onto that, but I think when we have him in studio, which I know he'll come into the new studio with us, do a live interview, we'll find out exactly what's going on with JR Romano. He is a good guy, and you can tell he's a scrapper. He's gonna get in there and talk. So we're getting down to about a little less than a half hour left, Ray. I think this is where we just kind of go off a little bit and have a conversation, you and I.
Sure.
And anyone else who wants to call in, you're more than welcome to dial in 860-884-5150. You know, I think it's going to be a really, fun weekend here. You got a bunch of kids. I hear it's, you know, feet are going crazy upstairs. Yeah. Are they all wound up and ready for the sugar?
Well, they had some sugar last night. Mimi and Papa came over. So, you know, they showed up in their Halloween costumes. Mm-hmm. So the kids got some candy.
Yeah.
So they were chewing on that pretty late. Not too late. You know, they're in bed by a decent time.
What kind of candy did you have?
I had some Snickers.
Some Snickers?
Yeah, I'm a Snickers guy.
What is your favorite? All right, let's go top three candies.
Kit Kat, Reese's, and Snickers.
Snickers. Do you like the peanuts and the Snickers?
Well, yeah. I love Almond Joys. Mounds.
I like Mounds. I like Almond Joys. I like the coconut mix, you know?
Oh, I love it.
What's your favorite, guys? If you got a favorite candy out there, send it in as a chat or send us a message on one of our phones or any way you can get to us. But I will tell you that this Halloween's different, right? So what are you guys doing for Halloween? Because, the normal trick-or-treating because of COVID, it's not happening.
Yeah, we're doing something different, obviously, like many others. I'm cooking dinner. I'm going to cook dinner. Not that I don't cook dinner, but for Halloween, you know, we usually do the traveling around and trying to hit the hot spots where all the houses are and everything. But I'm making some sauce, fresh sauce, meatballs, sausage.
Are you Italian?
No, I wish. I should be.
You're stirring the pot?
I should be. I can definitely stir a pot.
Okay. All right.
So we're going to do that. I got my father coming over and, my stepmother and I think my brother and his family, my sister.
Good. A lot of communities, we're having the trunk or treat that's being moved here in our community to the state park, state forest. And I know a lot of people are doing that. So your Halloween's, the kids are going to dress up.
Sure. Yeah. They're dressing up.
Mm-hmm.
We got some pirates, a couple pirates.
Okay. All right.
And then we have the female version of, what the heck's that clown's name from it? Pinwheel?
Pinhead? Know. Pinhead?
Pinwheel? I think it's Pinwheel. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we got a pinwheel. We got a little Princess Jasmine.
Okay.
You know, so, right. And then the little guy, we got a little Minion outfit for him. I got a Minion sweatshirt and Heather has a Minion sweatshirt as well. So we're going the Minion route with some pirates and some crazy clowns.
What are you going to dress princess. Up like?
I'm rocking the Minion sweatshirt.
That's
that's like, that'll be Heather and I and the baby.
All right. Very cool. Very cool. So that you got everyone's covered for Halloween. How many bags of candy are you expecting to go through this year?
Well, not
less
a lot.
Than usual, right?
I'm usually hiding the candy every year.
Yeah.
You know, for good reason. I mean, the dentist can be expensive if,
Halloween as a kid. What's your favorite Halloween story when you were a kid? Do you remember anything that like stands out as your favorite Halloween story? Like memory?
Honestly, we were just kind of, Halloween was like the destructive night, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, toilet paper. And, I'll just leave
eggs.
It there.
Did you ever egg anybody? I mean, you don't have to admit to it if you don't want to.
Not that I remember. I mean, maybe, but I'm not sure. I'll plead the fifth. I mean,
You did. I think we all had at some point. You know,
what it was to, honestly, it was probably more or less of like, before Halloween, you were kind of like riding around with your boys in the car and you were snatching pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like pumpkin snatchers. Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of people did that. Yep. And I was one of those idiots. Honestly, right now, I regret it. I mean, having children and, they put some work into these pumpkins.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. It's not easy.
We got a big one. We did get a big one year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a big one. It was a monster. We rolled it to the car.
Oh, really?
We rolled it to the car. It was a monster.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean,
did you actually cut it up or is it what are you going to do?
I don't even know what we did with it. Yeah. We're just idiots.
Yeah.
You know, you're like stupid teenagers. I mean, that's what kids do. So if you lose your pumpkin, they are out there.
There's something to be said, though. Pennywise,
thank you.
Who's that?
Pennywise. Paula.
Oh, okay.
Paula hooked it up. I said pinwheel, pinhead, pinstripe.
Pinheads, Pennywise. Thank you.
Pennywise.
She's on the job down there. She has about about 80 bags of 10 pounds each. Of course, we're going to be going to the trunk or treat this Saturday night. So nice. Handing that out and having fun doing that stuff. So
where is that located?
It's going to be out at the State Forest this year. They're doing the trunk or treat. They relocated right out to this Patchogue State Forest. Well, Hopeville Park.
Okay, I was going to say, which part of the forest? Because it's not like,
No, but I think it's going to add to a really creepy scene for the Halloween scene because you're kind of in the trees and everything. It's going to be a cool atmosphere. So we're excited about that.
And what time does that start?
I don't know. I have no clue. So I don't know. I got to be home by 2, man. That's all I know. Be home by 2:00, get some hay bales, and that's all I need to do, and I'm good. Okay. Get my old red truck all done up, and we'll be good. That's my job. That's what I'm doing. So
listen, I'm just asking questions for the listeners out there. Maybe you might spark some interest.
Well, I listen. If anyone wants to go to that trunk or treat, go to the rec page for the town of Griswold, and this is open to the public. I think there's 85 trunkers. People like us are going to kind of deck out the trucks or the cars, and there's a whole safety protocol, so anyone that's concerned, they'll all be covered. But, you know, this is kind of tying in. I want to tie it into this, and it's not to get us down, but what a different world. You know, you and I talking about what we did when we were kids. These poor kids today during the COVID issue, especially, besides all the crap because we're worried about, you know, sickos and psychos out there like, this whole world is filled with. It's the COVID issue that's really taken away from our kids' experience. Mm-hmm. You know, our kids aren't going to have these same experiences we had. And that kind of sucks, man. It kind of sucks.
That's horrible.
It does suck a lot.
I mean, it sucks from every aspect of it.
So you're going to wake up on Sunday morning. You're going to have sauce, the pot still on the top of the stove.
No. I'm not. You know how long it takes to make a good sauce? That's going to be simmering all day long. It's going to be simmering all day long.
Do you put a little wine into the sauce, or what do you do? Do you do that a little bit?
Sherry? I never have.
Okay.
I never have. Is that something that I should do?
I don't know.
I'm open for recommendations. I'm like a big fan of garlic. I'll probably throw a whole onion in there. And then I'll get some fresh basil leaves and I'll spice it up.
It's all scratch. Are you taking tomatoes?
I am not doing that. I'm going to buy the crushed tomatoes or the full tomatoes in the big jar.
Yeah.
You know, at probably Walmart.
Yep.
I don't know the brand.
Yep.
But I'm going to dump it in there and I'm just going to flavor it. I'm going to season it and I'm going to, throw some sausage in there. And, I'm going to make some, I made meatballs from scratch.
Very good.
Those are always really good. The kids love them.
We had pasta with homemade meatballs this week, and it was really delicious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good sauce, good old garlic bread, too. So, All right, so we covered Halloween. You wake up Sunday, you got football day. It's a big day for Do Not Sports and you guys watching your games. What's the best game of the day on Sunday for you?
Well, I'm going to probably have to go with Pittsburgh-Baltimore.
Really? Pittsburgh and Baltimore?
Yeah, Pittsburgh-Baltimore. Obviously, Pittsburgh's still undefeated. Baltimore, I think, has one or two losses. I think they have one loss, actually.
Hey, listen, Jake's got me doing the French Club picks this year for him. Sure. You know, he signs up and he tells me. So I go down and I do him. And, the day I do him, he sends me a message and says, oh, I didn't watch it because I didn't pick Arizona in the spread, 13-point whatever. And I took – dumb move, right?
Was that a couple weeks ago?
No, this weekend.
No, they didn't have it. They had the picks this weekend?
Yeah.
I thought it was closed.
It just reopened on Tuesday, kiddo.
Oh, so for this upcoming game, Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know the lady who runs the goddamn thing, don't you?
Oh, yeah. But like they haven't had it for the last 2 weeks.
Married to your dad. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, they weren't open. They just opened up.
They just opened this week. I'm telling you. I did the picks this week for him. So I send the picture to Jake.
Okay.
And he tells me, oh, that's the wrong
pick. It was Kansas City probably. Because I think Arizona's on a bye.
All right, that Kansas City.
19.5.
Yeah. I went against him.
You took the Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets.
Because, listen, I know what Jets
stands for?
What's that?
Just exit the stadium.
Okay. All right.
Just end the season. Jets. They stink.
Jets. Well, hey, I don't really care about it.
I know you don't.
I base it on this. And Jake, Jake's, by the way, he's third or fourth or second in his division from my picks this year. But now because he questioned me, and this is talking to my son, Jake, if you questioned me one time, now you've ruined the entire season. So don't be mad at me for something that I had going good, really good. So anyways, that was my pick.
Did you happen to notice on the bottom of your picks that my name was on the bottom? Did you notice like week five winner or six winner? Did you notice that at all?
No, I didn't even look at it.
Five, no, all right. I don't even know if I won.
I get out of there. Yeah. I don't want to be sitting around and drinking booze and hanging out down in the basement bar. It's not my objective. I just do my job and I get out of there.
Boy, have you changed. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, big guy.
Yeah.
What happened to the Kevin
somebody,
and I?
Somebody right now is rolling their eyes really, really fast and hard.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, so you're going to do that. And then Monday you wake up. It's the day before the election. We're going to be back on the air. Hopefully. We're going to be down in a studio or at least another location as we're prepping that studio up, officially announcing next week the opening of our new location. And we'll be doing the show, the News Rocky show, of course. But you're going to be Monday Night Football. Who's playing the night before the election?
Monday Night Football, it's a dumpster fire of a game. It's the Giants and the Eagles. No, I'm sorry. The Eagles and the Cowboys.
Eagles and the Cowboys. Yeah. So the Cowboys are winning that game.
I don't even know if they're going to have that game. I mean, Philadelphia's
in Philly.
It's in Philly.
Well, talk about bringing in some real news of the day.
It's in Philly. I mean, speaking of Philly, Portnoy, you know, El Presidente Barstool Sports was, he does, they have the Barstool gambling app now. So he's residing in Philadelphia and he's going around and he's doing all of his one bite. Everybody knows the rules crap. And he was wearing a Philadelphia Eagles sweatshirt, but rather than it says Eagles and it's outlined, it says scumbags.
Really?
This dude has the balls the size of, you know, Texas.
He's making money.
Alaska. Oh, he's making money. He don't give a crap.
Yeah.
But how do you wear scumbags across your sweatshirt? Yeah. And it's an Eagles emblem.
Yeah, Eagles. And Philly. Philly's a rocking sock'em town going down there. And, you know, it is crazy how you bring in the social sort of aspect of where sports are today. And look, you know, you got seasons or games being rescheduled because of COVID outbreaks. Yep. Now you're going to have games that are obviously going to be affected. And I'm going to tell you, honestly, no matter the outcome of this election on November 4th, and we're wrapping down here to about maybe 10, 15 minutes. We are going to see civil unrest across the country. I think you're going to see more games postponed, rescheduled, canceled flat out because cities are going to start burning here in this country.
I mean, you would hope not. I will.
Right, it's going to happen.
It will be interesting. I'm going to be optimistic and I'm saying it's not going to happen. We're going to see really what's going to happen after the third and what happens with that, because this is going to set the country on fire or not, depending on the outcome. However, I think the people of Philadelphia will probably take a night off from rioting and looting because they want to watch their beloved Eagles. I think that's just how these people are.
I hope so.
You know, and then, yeah, they'll Tuesday, tap
out, be like Wile E. Coyote, taking the night off.
No, Tuesday night it's game on then. Yeah, now it's our turn to, you know, keep destructing everything. So they probably haven't even touched the stadium. They probably stayed away from the stadium. Who knows?
We should have asked JR when we had him on the phone. You know, that's an interesting question, because how much of this these anarchists and disruptors are going to actually be out on the day of election trying to stop and prevent voting from happening? We got a report from a anonymous report, and the News Rocky is going to be about, you know, we're going to start doing more of this, is actually talking about what the people are having as concerns out there as they start sharing with us on our platforms. One of the reports we have is that on a statewide level and the national level, that the Democratic National Committee has pushed forward. They want to start reporting people who are wearing guns into voting locations. Now, if you go into certain properties, folks, you cannot wear a weapon. One of the big, and we're Second Amendment supporters here on the News Rocky Show, and I want my Second Amendment friends out there to realize, please be very conscious of how you're wearing your weapon. There's a lot of people that are trying to take notice of this, and they're going to try to report and get people jammed up because of it. And I'm not saying this because I recommend you do wear a weapon somewhere. I'm saying you be smart, because these people are out there. They're going to use any tactics they can to destroy your rights of carrying a gun. So be careful. That's just a PSA announcement for gun owners. Right.
Sounds good to me. I don't have a weapon, so I'm not going to.
But you support guns.
Yeah, I support your right to carry, of course.
Right. So I mean, obviously, it's an important thing. You got
to be mindful. No, it is. And honestly, the way things are going, it's probably not a bad idea for me to.
I'm going to start carrying a rifle. I'm just going to strap it on like Daniel Boone or whatever, and just strap and put the musket on the back and walk around town.
Yeah, Jeremiah Johnson.
Jeremiah Johnson. That's
you got
right.
The beard. You got the beard for it already. You just need that beard.
He's a big guy. Wasn't Jeremiah a big guy?
I think that was Paul Bunyan.
But Paul Bunyan was a big guy.
Paul Bunyan was a big guy.
So winding down, like I said, I just want to thank the Helms Media Group. They did a great job at negotiating the alternative locations we had over the last week or so. We had a great beginning when we started this down at the studios in Jewett City. We wanted to experience what it was like to do actually satellite remotes. And one of the purposes of doing this here in this dungeon was for us to get really, really good at doing the satellite remotes. And, you know, I do want to say to you, I just want to tease the people that are listening, and maybe I want to tease you more. Exactly. And one of the things that I know is in the upcoming for 2021 for the Helms Media Group, both my show, your show with Chris, and in the other content providers that we'll be announcing soon, that we'll be pursuing actively, material coming up in 2021, is we're looking at places like the local casinos for remotes. We're looking at places to go out and do these shows to communicate, right there, get down and roll the sleeves up and get into it. I mean, you guys are a perfect fit with the sports stuff at a place like a casino. So that's exciting, man. That's
absolutely exciting. Yeah. Listen, any opportunity, got to go with it, jump on it. And we're very excited about it. I mean, if we can work something out at Mohegan or Foxwoods, you know, whether it's a UFC. I mean, I don't know anything about lacrosse, but I'm sure we can bring somebody along who does. I mean, basketball, you know, the bubble coming up with all the college teams coming to coming to Mohegan Sun. And it's a pretty exciting thing. So it would really be cool to.
Well, I think we got an amazing backdrop in the fact that we're starting this content here in southeastern Connecticut. We're in a part of Connecticut that is actually rich with opportunities of a lot of exposure. And I say that because the casinos are here. There's a lot of activity here. We have the sub base in Groton that's here, Electric Boat, which builds the largest submarine manufacturer. A lot of our proud partners, residents, family members are a part of that. We're just really, really great opportunity. We're 2.5 hours from Boston, 2.5 hours from New York City. We're, short ride up to Providence. We're in a great location in this Newport. Part of Connecticut.
Yeah.
So we're gonna hit the road really soon here. One of the things that News Rocky wants to do, Ray, I'll get your opinion here as we're wrapping things up here. I really want to start doing some live interviews. So I want you to think about how I'm going to be doing some content on my smart device. That's what they call these, right? Smart devices.
It depends who's using it.
Yeah, it depends on who's using it. So it won't be too smart with me.
No. Well, yeah, we'll get out some paper.
Have a little class or something.
Yeah,
teach me how to do it.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm wondering to do is I'm going to start doing some interviews on the road,
sure.
and how we can tie these interviews into the News Rocky show, so we can bring them up for the audience to see and kind of hear what's going on. And we're working on that as well. So we've got a lot of huge plans coming forward for 2021. News Rocky wants to say thank you for you and your great family for offering the dungeon to us this week. Really practicing on that remote concept that we'll be launching. And just want to say thanks again for letting us be here.
Yeah, no, thank you.
So what else, man? It's your turn. Ask some questions, man. You do the interview.
I was asking you questions about the trunk or treat. I want to know more about it. I want to know what time it is.
Yeah.
I want to know what's the safety measures that are going to be occurring during this trunk or treat.
Okay.
Is it a 6-foot? Are people driving through? You're throwing candy in the car. Like, how's that going
to
go?
So the instructions that I was able to hear, for example, the trunkers, meaning the people that are going to hand the candy out, will have to have gloves on, masks on, and use universal precaution when it comes to the COVID outbreak. So the universal precautions require, obviously, you to have the rubber gloves on and a mask on. A lot of us are going to probably have masks on anyways, but if you don't in an outfit, you want to dress up and have fun, or you're just there handing candy out, you have to have that mask on. You will walk up to the vehicle. There will be plastic bags that each one of the participants in the vehicles will have, and you can drop your and what they're recommending is to put all the candies in plastic bags. So that's what they were doing last night. They were throwing all the candy in the bags and getting all the trick-or-treater bags ready.
So do we know how many, pieces of candy are in each bag?
So I would say to you, I witnessed maybe 2 to 3 candies in each bag. There's 85 trunk-or-treaters. I'm going to put a number out there. I don't know if you want to put it out to the Sharp 5 tonight and see if these odds are right. I'm going to say there's 250 to 300. I'm going to go 275 vehicles come through there with probably 2 to 3 participants in each vehicle.
Okay.
So if we can do fast math, that's going to be 6-7. Probably about 1,000 bags will be filled during this event.
So would you say, and these are for the stingy people out there.
Yep.
Would you recommend them to reuse these sandwich bags that these candies are going to go into?
I not only recommend that, but I think you should use them. You should lick them first, clean. Lick the bags clean with your and get all the germs on you. You can't listen.
Build the immune.
I don't know where you're going with it. I think I do, but you go to McDonald's. I'm sure still, obviously, you look like you're in shape, and you also go to wherever else you go.
I'm sitting down. I look like you when I stand up. Take that how you want.
Oh, I'm an old man. It doesn't matter anymore. Pot belly old man. But anyways, yeah. I think the universal precautions are recommended. I mean, you go to a store, you're getting something wrapped up, and it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
There's some concern, but I think the best part about this, it's given some normalcy in the way that they can. And that's a big shout out to Ryan Aubin. If you're going to hear anything on News Rocky, I love Ryan Aubin. Mm-hmm. He's the rec director here in town. He does so many amazing things. for this community where we live at. But, you know, we're talking to a bigger, broader audience. And I just want to say, you know, these are hopefully the public servants you have in your community, because this kid does – don't call him a kid. He's a kid to me. But this guy, this man, does so many really, really amazing things for our kids. And he's keeping it normal during a crazy time. That's the point.
Well, I think that's the goal for our kids. I mean, we want to make sure our kids are getting the best possible experience they can get in such a shitty crap time. I mean, you know, we've been going at this since February.
All right, we're winding down to the official 5 minute mark, Ray, and I'm gonna
5 minutes.
I'm gonna interview you for the last 5 minutes. It's gonna go down this way. News Rocky's gonna do a live interview with you right now. You got to answer the questions,
truthfully or fake.
We'll be able to tell. If you hesitate at all, we know you're lying.
All right.
So you just come out with them and just be able to do that, rattle it out, okay? Yep. So basically, you're going to just qualify you as a good interviewer first. So favorite color?
Blue.
Favorite song?
Four Non Blondes.
Can you sing it?
Well, when I wake in the morning and I step outside, I take a deep breath and I get real high. I scream to the top of my lungs, "What's going on?"
When was that song made? When did that come out?
Honestly, that's not my favorite song, and my favorite color is not blue. So how did I do?
Two lies out of the box.
100%.
Okay, man. All right. Well, at least you
That's the first one that came to my – for some reason, blue came to my head. It's why probably that come, Bluetooth.
I'm going to say the blue light. Yeah.
So my favorite color – I have two favorite colors. I like red and black.
Red and black.
Yep. I don't have a favorite song. So I like a lot of different – Wildcat. Nope, I was a Grizzle Green Wolverine.
And that's actually Fitch. Red and black would be Fitch.
Red and black is Fitch, yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
and what's your and so the favorite?
I don't have a favorite song.
Who's your favorite artist?
Ooh, I'd probably have to go with maybe. That's a tough one too. Jay-Z, Eminem.
Eminem's
actually
mine.
Notorious B.I.G.
Eminem's mine.
Biggie.
I love Biggie too.
Eminem's great. Jay-Z, all those guys. Tupac. I mean, favorite car.
If you could have any car in the world.
I'd probably have to go with a maybe a Bentley.
A Bentley. All right.
I mean, any car in the world, I'm going big.
Okay, going big. I think I know a guy that owns a Bentley. Justin. Just saying.
Oh, nice.
Anyways.
The Phantom?
I think it is, actually.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind one of those. I think they're like $300,000.
Let's not go there. Let's not qualify people. But anyways, favorite. If you could have one meal, your last meal, what's it going to be?
Chicken parm.
Chicken parm is your last meal.
Love it.
You're not having steak.
What, like a ribeye? Seafood. Cowboy steak? I love chicken parm, dude. I love pasta, man. So that's what I am. I'm a pasta. I mean, you got ask Heather on the way out.
Favorite dessert?
Favorite dessert. Ooh. Apple pie?
Favorite adult beverage?
Right now? I'm going to go with red wine.
Red wine.
I love red wine.
No headaches after red wine? Sometimes, you know, you do a little bit too much red wine. It happens.
Well, listen, if you... You know, you have enough of it, it becomes you become immune to the headache.
So as we're winding down here, I'm going to ask a couple more questions. Favorite male actor? Favorite male actor?
Denzel.
Good answer. Favorite female actress?
Jennifer Aniston.
All right. I just did pretty much a chart here. Basically, you fall in the lower percentile of white males. So you're
Idiocracy.
Yeah, pretty much. No, you are spot on. Great answers. Obviously, you're going to drive a really fancy car, but everything else, you kind of fall a little bit like, you know.
Well, I was supposed to say surf and turf, lobster tail, and a ribeye with some blue cheese crumbles and some sauteed onions and mushrooms.
And we appreciate you. We literally have 30 seconds. Listen, I just want to say, everyone that's been tuning into News Rocky, thank you so much. We're taking on fake news and the news of the day each and every day, coming to you live 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. We promise you, I promise you, we are going to get so good at this that you're going to be like, wow, these guys are professional someday. You know, we understand starting out and doing some of the remote stuff's been difficult, but we appreciate you staying in there with us, hanging in there. All the folks that have been commenting all day long, thank you so much. Great caller and Jared Romano today. I think that was awesome. Yeah. Ray, thank you again for being our host. Thank you for helping me out personally, and thank you for being a part of the team and the Helms Media Group. Guys, you've listened to News Rocky. We hope you have a great weekend. We hope you enjoy Halloween safely, and we'll listen. We'll be back on Monday, 10 a.m., kicking off the next show. Site and location to be officially announced probably over the weekend. We'll post it out there. But regardless, you'll be able to find us right here on these streaming platforms, and please participate. Please spread the word about News Rocky. Do Not Sports and the rest of the team. Guys, listen, I want you to do one more thing this weekend. I want you to convince 10 friends to vote for Donald Trump. Let's save America. God bless you. Goodbye.